The following Dharma talk was recorded in May 2014 in Excelsior Spring, Missouri. It is one of 21 recordings from the retreat called Insight Dialogue, taught by Gregory Kramer. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. Gregory Kramer is the founder and guiding teacher of Metta Programs and has been teaching insight meditation since 1980. He developed the practice of insight dialogue and has been teaching it since 1995. Gregory is the author of numerous books. Find out more at www.metta.org.
I'll say a little bit about insight dialogue practice, just as a way of giving us a glimpse of what we're doing, where we're headed. And then we'll have just a little bit of practice, kind of break the ice. I won't go deeply right now into the rationale, but just to say that human beings, biologically, psychologically, evolutionarily, are intrinsically relational. The brain is formed to function relationally, just as it's formed to function in relationship to your individual body. It's built to function in this world of relating with other beings. That's how human beings survived. Being instead of some lowly prey, it became the world's top predator by being relational. And in meditation, where we're cultivating certain qualities of the mind that might incline us towards insight and the kind of understanding, even freedom, that we're talking about. This body-mind is still relational, and so relational meditation is a practice that encompasses that. It doesn't leave out the individual. It's just a sort of a widening of the sense and the actual mode of practice. Internally, when we meditate, and there are many, many methods, techniques, and so on for meditation, but in insight meditation, vipassana, or simple mindfulness practice, there's some kind of noticing what's going on here and now, kind of a common theme. And sometimes there's a specific object that you take as a reference point, like the breath or walking or something like that. Sometimes not. But either way, there's some kind of practice whereby one remembers to notice what's happening now. So when the mind is going off in its various directions, how does it remember to come back, to recollect what's happening here and now? That remembering is exactly the sati, or the mindfulness, or the remembering, the recollecting, or the recollective awareness. There's a lot of ways of talking about it, but it's that coming home. And so the meditation instructions are simply ways of supporting that. So, for example, let's say you have a meditation teacher who teaches by way of breath. He or she might say, and if you notice the mind's wandering, And then you can just notice the wandering, notice that there's thinking or something like this, and just kind of bring yourself back to noticing the rising and falling of the abdomen or the breath at the nostrils or something like that. Or if you're walking, you could just notice the left foot and the right foot, and then when the mind wanders, you might stop and just come back and just settle down and notice the left foot again. And so the mind, when you practice, tells itself to do that. And gradually, if you do that enough, it becomes pretty natural to notice when you're gone and to come home to this moment. And maybe you still need to say, come home, or maybe you still need to say, left foot, or watch the breath. But sometimes even that goes, and there's just the remembering and the coming back, right? So insight dialogue works exactly the same way. But it does so while we're engaged with listening and speaking with another or with several others or with a lot of others. And because this interpersonal contact is such a sensitive thing for we humans, because we're built relationally, right? So we're extraordinarily, I won't say clever, because we're more like the victims of this sensitivity most of the time, but there's actual mechanisms in the body, mind, in the brain that are acutely attuned to other people's eyes, for example, or lips. And we can see stuff that we have no idea we're seeing, but we're reacting to it. That's just how we're made. Very sensitive. And since that goes back and forth between us, you know, someone says, like, oh, is there something I did? And they say, oh, is there something I did? You know, we kind of get into that, right? Back and forth. It can be, well, normal, which is highly stressed and sensitive and not very present and off into whatever story we have landed in. Very normal. We do it all the time. It's what we call normal social intercourse. But now, since the intention is meditation towards freeing of the heart, we actually need to intervene in that process. And it works the same way, but it's really helpful to have really simple, crystal clear instruction to get us started as to how to do it. Yes, it eventually becomes more natural, or so we hope. And it does. But the clarity, simplicity, precision with which we begin lays the foundation for that ease of the naturalness. And then whenever even the naturalness is to go deeper, get more clear, more precise, you can really bring forward meditation instructions that are suited specifically to meditation that arises in interpersonal encounter. So I'll be introducing these meditation instructions, these insight dialogue guidelines. And each one has the same basic structure. On the outside, very simple. In actually doing it, something in there is really simple. Like pause is the first one. Just pause before you speak. Simple. Well, we'll see how it goes, because sometimes pausing may be simple but not easy, as they say. because you get caught up in your story or in someone else's story, because you're pausing when you listen too. At which moment, pausing doesn't mean don't talk, stop talking for a minute. It means pause from the internal dialogue. Pause. So it's, what is it? It's mindfulness. It's a way of, it's a handle into mindfulness. Now, as mindfulness practitioners, perhaps, one might say, okay, I can do that. I don't need the word pause. I'll just remember to be mindful. But you'll see, when you actually come into the, you know, complexity of relational meditation, it can be very helpful to have a simple place to start and an easy way to remember. So we practice that. And then with each time you mentally offer yourself the word, because that's all it is a word, pause, that word indexes into your experience, the breadth, the depth of experience of sati, of mindfulness. So all of a sudden, it's gone from word to experience, right? Like that. No problem. But to remember. Right? And the other guideline is very similar, like relax is the second guideline. What's that? If it were so easy, why would it be a big business to calm down? But what does it mean in meditation? And what does the guideline open mean as the meditation moves into the relational? What does the guideline mean to trust emergence or to kind of surrender to the ongoing impermanent flow of it, to not hold on so much and try and figure out what's going on? And what could be simpler than speaking the truth? What could be a larger challenge than speaking the truth in the depths of meditation? See what I mean? It's like really simple, potentially quite deep. Listen deeply. Duh, right? I mean, of course I'm going to listen deeply. But what does it mean for the receptive mind to be in that quality of listening while the human experience is completely playing out in front of you? It's non-trivial. So that's basically, you know, we'll be moving through these meditation instructions. They're structured the way they are with a purpose. Perhaps that will reveal itself to you with some clarity. We'll see. And as they begin to work together, perhaps you'll be finding yourself, sometimes it's awkward, like, how do I talk and remember these guidelines, and this doesn't feel very mindful to me right now. It feels like it's a technique or something. You know, you go through various stages, maybe. It's natural. No big deal. How many people do you think immediately settle down to insight meditation or any kind of meditation, and it's just immediately, like, perfectly smooth, perfectly natural? You know, you find your bearings. And for those of you who have some real practice behind you, even of insight dialogue, it's still this reference point to this potential of the, you know, completeness of what it means to speak the truth and listen deeply, for the pause to be continuous, the pause that never stops, even as you speak. So there's always plenty of opportunity for unfolding. We'll be moving back and forth between silent meditation practice and insight dialogue practice. I view it all as one practice, just different forms, slightly different forms, sometimes bigger differences. And we'll also have time for some talks, perhaps some time for questions. And perhaps one of the most important things that you can do, that you could take responsibility for in your own practice, is continuity of practice. So that the sense of what is this? What is this human experience? What is happening right now? Is like always right in front of you. You know, you get up from here, you go to sleep, you wake up, you have silent meditation, you have breakfast, all these things. All those times, it's all life. It's all field for understanding. What is the mind doing now? How's this body? What is this that's happening? What is it to be aware? Am I not aware? Wait a minute. Who's asking that question? You know? You see what it's like for yourself. But the continuity can make a really big difference. It's like there's a certain kindness in it. Because if you're really giving yourself the gift of this engagement in meditation and the totality of what's possible here on retreat, if you're really receiving this gift, then you're effectively saying, I really want to live into this possibility. This possibility of being more awake, of letting go of the unwholesome, of cultivating the wholesome. And so insight dialogue is part of this whole field. And these guidelines will help us, support us in our practice. The things that we talk about, the nature of the human experience here and now, will really be helpful in freeing the mind, in at least advancing the inquiry. And it's this kind of movement that is the reason that, you know, ethical behavior and wise use of things like telephones and internet make a real difference. So that's sort of the option, the opportunity here.